Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of the entire denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message, and I am Linda Schramm, worship leader for this morning. Our pianist is Melissa Ogden. We stand as we sing the praise song. 2023, we'll do it twice. Will you join me in the call to worship? Give ear, God of all people. Stir up your strength and gather us. Once you rescued your children from bondage, now set your people free. Look down from heaven, God of hosts. Turn us anew and see us in our need. Restore us, God of creation. Let your face shine upon us. May our suffering cease.
May all your children be saved. Let us pray.
Come, Holy Spirit, hear our prayers and songs of praise. We join voices from ancient times that place their trust in you in days of joy or pain. Inspire us in this hour that we may never surrender to despair. Renew in us enduring faith, even as we join eternally in song. Amen.
Our opening hymn is Christ for the World We Sing, number 568, or you can see it on the screens. The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 81, verses 1 and 2, and then 8 through 19. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might and come and save us. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached out as far as the sea. It shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty, and look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root of your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire at your rebuke. Your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man on your right hand, the son of the man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. Oops. Sorry, I didn't have all my pieces in place for everything that comes up so fast. Okay, my special is going to be kind of an article I found about what United Methodist churches are doing in our area, at least two of them, excuse me. It's called Welcome to the Racing Family. This comes out of the newsletter that's put out by the conference. I don't know how many of you are aware of it. I think I'm going to put an article in the newsletter about it for this time, so that you can look at it every 2 weeks and find out things that other United Methodist congregations are doing in programs and trainings that are available through the conference and that type of thing. And I usually kind of skim through it, but this one I found about a week ago really struck my fancy. It's called Welcome to the Racing Family. And it's talking about Pastor Karen Kenny, who is the pastor at Harbor Beach and Port Hope United Methodist Churches, and how she's finding new opportunities for ministry by building relationships at a local racetrack and providing pastoral presence. And so part of the issue, I think, with pastors is they always are serving local congregations, but they're always looking out for other opportunities of ministry that they can do with communities beyond the local church. And this was just a very interesting one that Pastor Karen Kenny had started. So part of authentic ministry is just being there and with no agenda but to listen and to wait for God's grace to unfold through conversation and connection. Pastor Karen Kenny has found holy moments like this in a non-traditional ministry space out in the community, dirt track racing, and she's embracing it fully. As Pastor Karen begins her fifth year pastoring Harbor Beach in Port Hope United Methodist Churches, a two-point charge in the East Winds District, she's expanded her ministry into the summertime to reach a population that typically may not attend church. The Silver Bullet Speedway in nearby Owendale, where she now spends every Saturday night from April through early September. By building relationships with people at the racetrack has been key to this new ministry. As it grows, she gets to know people, hears their stories, and shares God's love. She is grateful for the behind-the-scenes peer support she's received from the Michigan Conference through a program that they have called Seed Harvest Ministry Incubation Program. And this helps her fund what she's doing. Pastor, and those are through our mission share dollars. Pastor Karen loves auto racing as a sport, especially NASCAR, and understands race tracks can create a unique culture akin to family. And that's what she's discovering at the Silver Bullet. One Saturday, while people were playing cornhole and other games to pass the time, Karen met a young man in his 30s, about her son's age, who opened up to her about what this place meant to him. The man has been coming to the racetrack his whole life, and a few years ago he was there and had too much alcohol to drink and got himself in trouble. "We're just very concerned out here," Karen recalled saying to him, and they watched out for me. They told me I was wrong. They told me I needed to shape up. But I love this place because of the family connections that we have here and how it's just like one big family." Karen went on to explain a conversation with the man about the concept of a group feeling like family and how congregations and churches feel that way too and care for one another when we make mistakes. "So it was really a good conversation," said Kenny, "and I want to figure out how more of that can happen." Both Harbor Beach and Port Hope United Methodist Churches are located in a small communities along Lake Huron, as I'm sure we're familiar, in the Thumb. The communities fill up in the summertime, although church attendance wanes when school starts. A fun activity in this part of Michigan during winter summer months is going to the Silver Bullet, which opened in 1955. And is the oldest continuously operating dirt track in the state. The racetrack hosts various types of auto racing, attracting approximately 200 spectators who come to cheer on the racers. Not long after arriving in the area, Pastor Karen and her husband started enjoying the races at the Silver Bullet. She also got to know the Downs, a racing family with a long-time connection with both of her congregations. Since every race begins with prayer, Karen asked the Downs if they knew the racetrack owner and could ask if they'd allow her to pray sometime. They did, and the owner said yes. The night Pastor Karen prayed, the announcer asked if she would include in her prayer a racetrack family whose son had committed suicide. "The announcer told me," said Kenny, "that he thought he could do it himself, but the closer it got, he just didn't feel like he could do it. So I said, sure, and I included that family and shared some information that the announcer provided about passing the hat at the racetrack to help the family financially." That public prayer was the introduction Pastor Karen needed to begin making more connections at the Silver Bullet. Through that, she met a Christian man who introduced her to others, and she discovered a need for ministry to reach out in this community of people. Karen started forming friendships and having more conversations. Still, no formal ministry idea came to her until she heard about this Seed to Harvest program that the conference has, which helps individuals take an idea, nurture it as it emerges, and comes to life, and wondered if they could help her figure out what that might look like at the Silver Bullet. So she joined a Seed to Harvest cohort, and peer group helped Karen brainstorm, and the idea started coalescing. She had a musician at Port Hope United Methodist Church who performs country gospel music, and was willing to go to the racetrack and help her and others organize a time of devotion and music under the tent, along with yard games and space for fellowship. The cohort also helped her with branding the ministry, initially called Gather in the Dirt. As the idea was being shaped, Karen got permission from Bishop David Bard and the cabinet to make this racetrack ministry an extension of her congregational appointment. In the future, if people want to be married there or baptized there, permission would be granted. Both congregations have supported Karen in this ministry. The congregations, she said, are mostly retired folks, and they're not going to go to a racetrack on Saturday night until 11 and 12 at night and then go to church in the morning. Sometimes it's even hard for me, but that's when the That's when the race is. That's when the race is, and so that's what I do. Sunday afternoons are for naps, but my congregations certainly support me doing it. The combination outreach budget for both congregations is helping to financially sustain this ministry in the short term as it gets up and running. Recently, they even sponsored the youngest down with a Port Hope United Methodist Church decal for his race car. Pastor Karen is learning to pivot as this new ministry evolves. The music component has been put on pause, so they are focusing on space for playing yard games, passing out cookies, and building relationships, one conversation at a time. So it's just an idea of what one pastor, by looking out around our community and seeing where there is a need. The needs aren't always the same, but I'm sure whenever we look around, there are always needs in communities. So even we as a congregation can keep our eyes open on what kind of needs that we as a congregation can meet beyond our church walls.
Thank you. That was very interesting. Let's take just a moment for reflection in many of these names in our thoughts and in our prayers. Each one of these folks needs specific prayer that the Lord knows exactly what is needed in those situations. If you will bow with me, let's go before the Lord this morning. We give our thanks, precious Lord, that your love casts out fear, that your life transcends death itself. You simply ask that we maintain a posture of faith with eyes open to the future you will bring. Forgive us, Lord, when we prejudge where we will or will not see you. We decide too soon whom we will listen to and whom we will dismiss. Forgive us, Lord, awaken us, restore our faith in you, that we may find new faith in ourselves and in the neighbors that we meet. Lord, hear our prayer this morning for each one on our hearts, for all of the unspoken needs that are before you, Lord, from the hearts of your people. Lord, we ask that you touch each need. Attend to it in a way that only you can. Send your spirit into the lives of those who need to hear you and feel you and see you this morning in a tangible way. For each one, Lord, on our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for our church family. I pray this morning, Lord, that you will touch each one. Bless each one for their efforts to be here, for the worship that we can give you, Lord. I pray that it's pleasing to your sight and to your senses, Lord. Our desire is, Lord, to honor you with all that we say and all that we do. Thank you for your spirit that transcends time and that dwells here among us. This morning, that we can tangibly feel your presence. We love you, Lord. Our desire is to serve you with our whole hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits. Help us to be where you need us to be this morning, as in this article that Linda just shared. What an amazing thing. In the least expected ways, in the least expected places, Lord, you show up and you show us that there's a need. People need to know you. And so we thank you, Lord, for inspiring us. We pray for those who need that prayer, especially today, those that are grieving, that have lost loved ones precious to them. Lord, for those that are healing from procedures and surgeries and Lord, are just under the weather, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to restore and rebuild and strengthen those that need a word from you today. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon this congregation, for each one that's listening today. Let them hear your voice. Let them feel your presence. As we are about out and about, Lord, show us where we can share the word of Christ. Instead of a word of gossip or a word of anger, Lord, let us fill the air with your praises and with the mighty ways that you have brought us through this week, that you've given us everything we need for today, that you've inspired us with your hope and your great mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you will be to us as we remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible. What I'd like to say towards the end of the New Testament, we're going to go to verse 29 from chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 29 through verse 2 of the 12th chapter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Very similar in its writing in Hebrews 12, 2, but from a different version of the Bible, from the King James Version this morning. It reads very similarly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a powerful, powerful verse that encapsulates the very essence of our Christian journey. It illustrates why and how we should focus our lives on Jesus, the ultimate example of faithfulness through trials. To look unto Jesus means to fully direct our attention toward him, recognizing him as our guide in every single aspect of our lives. As believers, we often face challenges and tribulations, much like those early Christians to whom the book of Hebrews was addressed. They were enduring persecution and hardship, tempted to waver in their faith. In such times, the apostle calls upon them and us to fix our eyes on the one who not only initiated our faith, but is also the one who brings it to fulfillment. I couldn't help but think in reading that scripture passages this morning that we perhaps don't really know too much about persecution, as some other countries do, as some other lands and times do, in the brief explanations that were given in these passages this morning. It helps us to know that our small circumstances were nothing in comparison what some of them faced for their Christian faith, and how easy it would be to back down just so that they wouldn't have to deal with whatever that persecution was, whatever the atrocity was that was going to be brought upon them, certainly. It helps us to know, it helps me to know, that no matter what I go through, no matter how horrific it appears to be at the time, and rightfully so for all of you, that Jesus thought of something well beyond his circumstances that he had, which were way more than what any one of us would ever endure. Jesus, as the author, signifies that he is the originator of that faith, of our faith. It was through his sacrifice on the cross that we receive salvation, and it's through his teachings and example that we learn how to live as followers of his way. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can go, and on any given day, it's really easy to get tempted to go off in a different direction. In fact, we kind of even slide in those directions sometimes before we get pulled back, or before we pull ourselves back by the help of the Holy Spirit. When we face doubts and struggles, reflecting on the truth that Jesus began this journey for us can provide us with immense strength, knowing there's more than our burdens, that there is more than the thing that we're dealing with today. There is more in our future than what today will even bring. Jesus understands our suffering because he too walked this earth experiencing a lot of the same things that we do: pain, rejection, betrayal, Moreover, the verse continues to describe Jesus not only as the author, but also the finisher of our faith. So we're not done, and he's not done with us yet. It denotes that our spiritual journey doesn't end in uncertainty. As we talked about last Sunday, about our faith and the strength of our faith, and that we need to be confident in where we are and where we're going. Because it is unwavering faith that gets us there. It's remembering what Jesus did for us and what he continues to do for us every single day. We are assured that he's going to bring our faith to completion. He is the finisher of that faith, and there is no uncertainty involved. In Philippians 1:6, Paul expresses this confidence beautifully, assuring us, many of you might even say that it's your favorite verse. It's one of my very favorites. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to carry it on to completion until the day he comes back. And that promise encourages us that we can and will persevere, knowing that even when our circumstances might seem disheartening, he's at work. He's at work. He's at work within us, shaping and molding us according to his perfect will. And I know it may seem cliche, but we always go back to that potter's wheel. Has any of you ever in person seen a potter's wheel where the clay is in it and they're molding it and shaping it with their hands? And Jesus is doing that, and we are the clay every single day. He's molding us every single day. Because if you've ever seen that potter's wheel, sometimes things go amok. The rhythm might not be correct in whoever is getting that rhythm going for the potter's wheel to go around. If his hands aren't in the right spot sometimes, or if the clay is misforming itself, and sometimes it'll become just like a blob on the wheel. It'll just like fall all to pieces, and they'll have to start from scratch and mold it back up, put it back on the wheel, and then sometimes one side will be a little lopsided and be huge on one side and small on the other, and the person whose hands will bring that back. I see Jesus as those hands bringing it back to the place it needs to be, the shape that it needs to be, the perfection that he wants it to be. And it doesn't always look like perfection while it's in the process. It might look pretty rough. It might look pretty lopsided. It might even have a piece missing out of the back side of it until the wheel comes around and the potter molds it again with his very hands, as he's molding you every day with his hands. And sometimes it can look pretty ugly, can't it? And sometimes we feel him prodding us and pulling us back. We feel him shaping us by putting good people in our path and knowing that we're being prayed for by folks. He molds us, he shapes us. In that scripture, it also speaks about Jesus enduring the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now, when we think about all that he went through to get to the cross, joy isn't necessarily the word that we would put in that equation. But joy is the word that we have here for the joy that was set before him, because he wasn't looking at the pain. He wasn't looking at the all that he went through. The flogging, the hanging, the not being able to breathe. all of that. He wasn't looking at that. He was looking at what was going to be a result of that. What was coming after that. What he was doing for you. That's what he was looking at. The joy that was coming next. Provides a profound insight into the mind of Christ, because despite the immense pain, the suffering that awaited him, he looked beyond the immediate, grasping onto the joy of fulfilling God's will, the joy of reconciling humanity to God, and the joy of eternal life granted to all who believe in him. And that perspective challenges us to evaluate our own responses to suffering and trials. Are we viewing our hardships through the lens of that imminent discomfort and pain and heartache and heartbreak? Are we judging it on that, all of our suffering and trials? Are we viewing our hardships through the lens of imminent pain? Or are we embracing the potential joys and growth that's going to stem from those experiences? It's hard in our weak bodies, isn't it, to see past and to see that any good is coming from what we endure. And then the scriptures go on to say, despise the shame. It signals Jesus' rebellion against the stigma of that cross, because the cross was a symbol of ultimate disgrace and humiliation in that Roman society. And yet he chose to endure that shame because he understood the greater reward. He looked past the rest to see what the greater reward was going to be, the salvation of every one of our souls, the restoration of our relationship with God, and even the ability to have restoration in our relationships here, I believe. In our own lives, when we experience shame or criticism, let's remember that Jesus took on the ultimate shame for us, allowing us to stand justified before God, standing as that intercessor, standing between God and us and pleading our case, being our defender, saying, I already paid that price. We need that person, don't we? I did it for you. It's already done. It's already paid for. Finally, the verse concludes with this glorious image of Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God, signifying his divine authority and honor, as well as the completion of his redemptive work. It serves as a reminder that we're not merely called to follow, but to look forward to the majesty of his reign. And then, of course, his return. As we navigate our earthly pilgrimage, may we draw strength from the profound example that Jesus has left for us. Let's keep our eyes firmly fixed on him, no matter what distractions we may find along the road, especially those things that push our buttons, different for each of us. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Remind yourself that he endured all things for your sake, for my sake. And let his example inspire us to stand firm in our faith, endure our trials, even with joy, and ultimately to look forward to the hope we have in him, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. None of that is easy. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's easy to read. It's harder to do. But with the Holy Spirit guiding and the Lord's strength with us, we will be certain and we will be successful. Amen. We can have our ushers come forward at this time for our morning gifts and tithes. Is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Yet how good is it to see living acts of faith in Christ's church and his people. Bless, O Lord, the offerings that we give, that others may know your love and come to trust your provision and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 530, Are Ye Able?
Oh, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us live and love as these examples of faith have shown us how. Amen. And amen. Let's close by singing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."